Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
Just thank you so much for creating us amazing and awesome, Lord God, because we're created in your image. And so, Father, I just pray that we would have this message sink deep within us, and our thought process would change tonight, what needs to be changed, Father, and that we our mind would be renewed, meaning the ways that we think would be changed for the better tonight, Lord God, as we dig into your word, as we hear what you have to say to us tonight. In your precious name, everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, well, just a little while ago, I was in a Tim Hortons, and I'm not an eavesdropper. I just want to clarify that just for the purpose of the story. I am not an eavesdropper, except if it's my kids talking, all right? As any parent out there, you just eavesdrop, all right? And so I was in Tim Hortons, and I was listening to these guys having a conversation. Now, technically, I wasn't eavesdropping because they were loud talkers. Does anybody have a loud talker in your family? Yeah, you know, they're like all the way across the house, and you can hear them talking, and they're talking like in a normal tone, right? I know when at our family gatherings, you can tell when my mom and her sisters get together, I mean, you could be like from here to the main entrance, and you could just hear them clear as day. They were all loud talkers. And then you ask them to be quiet, hey, shh, keep it down. And then their whispers like a normal tone, you know, normal volume. Anybody? So these guys were loud talkers. So it's not my fault I overheard their conversation. And there's a purpose for me telling this story. And I'll get to it, hopefully. No. These guys were talking. It was a business deal going on. They were talking about this business deal we're having. And this guy was just chatting about how it was going. I didn't hear all the specifics because I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, okay? And so he pulled an envelope out of his jacket pocket and slid it across the table. And I was like, oh, there's a business deal. They were just over to the side so I could see it out of the corner of my eye. And it's like, oh, yeah, there's a business deal going on. That's pretty cool. Be like, I wonder if there's money in that envelope or something. Should I, you know, how fast could I grab that and run? And then he mentioned check, and I was like, that's not going to work. I'm just kidding. I was not thinking that at all. And so he passed across the table, and they're talking about the business deal. And so he named the sum of the check. The sum of that check was in the six-figure range, high six-figure range, around $700,000+. And they just nonchalantly passed across the table, and then they started referencing the previous business deal that they had done just maybe about a year it was previously that was just over $1 million. And these were two normal-looking guys in Tim Hortons making a business deal, paying off whatever it was and things like that. And the reason I mention that is because I often think here in Brandon, in the West Mend region, I think one of the biggest things we struggle with is small-minded thinking. Is this idea that we're this poor little town. Now, I know that I'm using money as an example. Now, this applies to so much more than just money, okay? That we're this small little town that we can't accomplish much, and we're never going to amount to a whole lot. At least, you know, let's just go paycheck to paycheck. Let's just go moment to moment, and maybe by the end, you know, phew, we're done, and we get to go to heaven, right? That kind of idea, that kind of thinking. I don't know, maybe you're here tonight and you're maybe like me and you feel like deep down inside of you that God has actually given you this God-given desire to do great things for him. That deep down inside of you, God has given you this drive, this passion to be better than you were yesterday. To continually try to be better, to try new things, to try new avenues. And sometimes maybe you're like me also and you find yourself hitting these brick walls. Or feel like you're stuck in a holding pattern. Is that anyone? Can anyone identify it tonight? And you feel like, you know what? It's just going to be this way for I don't know how long. And you're getting frustrated and anything like that. Well, I would propose to you two ideas tonight. Maybe, just maybe, that you're actually living a life that is more successful or significant than you might even think or imagine right now. Those random acts of kindness or those encouraging words you shared with that person beside you, you don't know what kind of difference that's already made in someone's life. Maybe you feel like you're hitting that brick wall or you're stuck in that holding pattern and you're like, there's no way I'm making an impact in this world. Well, I would suggest to you that your life is already making more significant, is a life that matters, and you are living a life of significance. Maybe you just don't realize it yet. And the second thing I would propose to you as an idea is the fact that within community, you will have the ability to overcome that brick wall and get out of that holding pattern. Now, we aren't in this alone, right? Now look around, there's a few of us here tonight. There's more than one or two, that's good, makes me feel better. And it's within community, it's within friendships and all of these things is where we can actually find the solutions to the problems, those brick walls, those holding patterns in our life. Let me go on to kind of explain what I mean by all of this. You see, we all have problems that we face, and I believe that all problems require a multifaceted approach for the solution. What I mean is that there's not often just one solution to every problem. Sometimes you have to do a few other things to get a certain problem. My brother is a mechanic. And there's a difference between, my dad was also a mechanic, there's a difference between when my dad was a mechanic and when he popped a hood of maybe a 1970s, you know, GTX with a 440 and a four-barrel on it, which should be taken off and a six-barrel put on it, all right, carburetor. And there's a little difference between, well, it could be the distributor or it could be this or the time, you know, there's only a few things that could go wrong. Well, now when my brother pops the hood, now him as a mechanic, when he pops the hood of a car, the first thing he does is he plugs it into a computer, right? A computer. And he's got to figure out what's going wrong because there's all these engine codes. And while it could be this, it could be that and things like that. And he's got to troubleshoot and do all these things. It takes a multifaceted approach to solve the problem that's going on with the engine. And this is why when I have a check engine light or something go wrong, I go, hey, Bob, that's my brother. What's wrong? Now, unfortunately, he lives 9 miles north, but, you know, at least he helps diagnose a few things over the phone. It's great having family, right? But actually, that in itself is a good example of the fact that, you know what, I realize I am out of my league, out of my depth. And sometimes my brother just goes, just take it to the mechanic, Charles. Like, come on, you know? I'm like, but I got this wire out. Isn't that, you know, good? Oh, no, that's not the right wire, you know? You know what I mean? You know, sometimes I realize within community, within others, there are the solutions to our problems. Every problem takes a multifaceted approach. All right. This is why we are a body. Referred to in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 12. This is why we are a body. In 1 Corinthians 12, 17 to 20, it says this. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. You see, each one of us is unique. Each one of us have a different gift set, have different personalities. God has designed us that way. And that is why when we are facing challenges, when we're facing those brick walls, we have to realize, you know what? God has made me pretty awesome, right? I think so. I want you to tell that to yourself now. I was made awesome. Okay, let's try that again. I was made awesome. Now, don't say me, say I, like yourself, okay? I was made awesome. I mean, if you want to tell me I'm awesome, I'm okay with that. But you were made awesome. You were made amazing. But sometimes we might get the idea that you can do it alone. Well, if God made you awesome, does it not also stand to reason that he made the person sitting beside you and the person in front of you or maybe that person a few rows back or that cashier that you were talking to earlier today or maybe the gas attendant or maybe, you know, the engineer? Or does it not stand to mean that God made them awesome as well and amazing? And he desires us to be in community. And so what I suggest to you today is you've been made awesome. The people around you have been made awesome. And so you find yourself facing problems or getting stuck in that holding pattern and you want to get out of it. Guess what? God has probably placed the solution to that brick wall and that holding pattern in the person sitting beside you, not to you. A lot of times we want to go, God, give me the solution. God got, and then we got a friend that comes over and is chatting with us or whatever, or we meet someone new or in our life, and we're like, God, give me the solution. We're like, yeah, okay, God, give me a solution. A lot of times you're going, I have. It's in the person beside you. That solution is in them. Because if it stands to reason that I've made you awesome and amazing, then I've made them awesome and amazing. And the fact is, I've made you a body. You each have different gifts, talents, and abilities. And it's through community, it's through getting together and leaning on each other and asking each other for help is where we find the solutions to those problems. And so if you're here tonight and you're finding yourself not within community, I would strongly, very urgently suggest you find community. Ask God, Lord, highlight some people. Join, if you don't have a church that you're a part of, get a part of a church, all right? And our small groups are going to be starting up again at the end of January, or middle of January, end of January area. So join a small group. Find community, and you will find the solutions to your problems that you're facing. It's crazy when you think about it. But it's also crazy to think the opposite. To think that God in his infiniteness breathed life into us, and to think that he put it all within one person. And what I mean by that, I think this quote by Winky Pratney explains. It says, everyone looks different, but they all look like Jesus. How? When an infinite person expresses himself finitely, it always comes out different. That means it's crazy to think that we would get all the solutions to the problems when it's this big, huge God expressing himself through people. So if God created us in his image, how on earth is he going to get the fullness of himself within one person or two people or three people? It took all of humanity to start displaying the image of God. And so if we need God in our life, if we need solution to those problems, then obviously it's within community that we can find them. You see, that's why God is called the master creator, not the master cloner. You see, if we're all different, then it all stands to reason that we each have a different approach to problems, solutions, and in life in general. So we need each other. You're awesome, and the person beside you is awesome. The person in front of you is awesome. They've been all made in the image of God. Isn't that amazing? Now, I would maybe even take that a little bit further and say maybe Susie or Johnny, who you're having a little bit of trouble with and maybe you'd rather punch than get together for coffee with. You know what? God made them awesome too, right? Or maybe that person that cut you off in traffic. You know what? God made them awesome too. Or maybe, just maybe, that person in the line in front of you at Starbucks who's got like 10 different ingredients they want in their coffee, and you know that you're in a hurry, and it's now going to take 10 minutes for their double non-fat chocolatey chip frappuccino with a shot of espresso mango thingamajig. And you're like, oh, you know what? Just remember, that same awesome God that made you awesome made them awesome. Right? Right? God made them awesome. God made you awesome. Remember that. Keep that in, folks. It's going to change your mindset. It's going to change the way you think. If you realize that you've been made awesome, if you realize other people made awesome, I think it should drive you to do two things. It should change the way you think about yourself. And it should change the way you think about being in community. Because I would love to be around awesome people. I think God has made you awesome. I mean, the fact that, I know I've used this verse almost every message. I find a way to work it in because I love it. It's Zephaniah 3:17. And out of the New King James, it says, the Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I hope I'm making my point here and how awesome God thinks you are. The fact that when he thinks about you, he sings and he dances when he thinks about you. That word rejoice means God dances when he thinks about you. That's what God thinks about you. That's what his reaction is when he thinks about you. In fact, when he made creation after day 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, he said it was good. And then when he got to day 6, when he created us in his image, when he created humans, he went, it is very good. He thinks you're awesome. He thinks you're amazing. In fact, he knows so because he created you so. So stop thinking contrary to that. And remember that that person beside you, in front of you, that person in the line at Starbucks that has the 10 different ingredients, or the person that's taking like forever to get through the intersection, seems to be driving 10 kilometers an hour in a 50 zone. You know what? God made them awesome. I also want to say God made the person to design the gas pedal that they might be want to use every once in a while. Is anyone here an impatient driver? That's like one of my biggest things, impatient driver. I think we should have a deliverance class for impatient drivers. But so here's the other thing. Talking about people being awesome, talking about how God has made it awesome, there always seems to be this reaction. This reaction is that, well, if we keep telling everybody they're really good and really awesome, they're going to get proud, right? They're going to get proud and we should be humble. You know what? This world doesn't deserve you playing small. This world does not deserve you playing small. See, this world, these sons and daughters out there, these other awesome people deserve someone who is being who they were created to be in the biggest, grandest way they can muster to step out and take risk. See, over and over in history, you see men and women decide to realize that it's done, the time is done to play small, and it's time to step out and take risk and realize why God created them and start working towards that. I think a great example of that is Harriet Tubman. She was an African-American abolitionist, a humanitarian who was born into slavery and rescued approximately 70 enslaved family and friends. During a time of slavery being the norm, not only did she say no way, she did something about it. She challenged the standard of the day and is an example to us that anyone can make a difference. The fact that she was in slavery broke out not only from, horrendous circumstances, but because she did that, she also realized, wait a minute, I've got family and friends back there. I've got to get them out too. And over 70 of them were rescued because of her. So be great, be awesome, because you are awesome. Take out and take those risks. The story of Malala, has anyone ever heard the story of Malala? Amazing story. If you've never heard the story of Malala, I cannot pronounce her last name, that's why I didn't put it up there. All right, Malala, it's an amazing story. In 1997, she was born into Pakistan. And then around, I think it was 2008, the Taliban came in. And they took control of her town. And so then they started putting a lot of, no girls were allowed to go to school or anything like that. And a whole bunch of other things to really oppress the people. And she started to speak out. And in 2012, she got onto a school bus. And this speaking out about girls needing education had made her a target. In 2012, a gunman got on the bus she was on and shot her in the head. She woke up about 10 days later in England, and the doctors and nurses told her what had happened, and that people all over the world, because this story went viral, people all over the world were praying for her recovery. And in 2014, she was basically fully recovered. Her family had now all come over to the UK, and she said this, "It was then I knew I had a choice. I could live a quiet life, or I could make the most of this new life I had been given. I determined to continue my fight until every girl could go to school." And so she started the Malala Fund, and they now work all over the world to ensure that girls can have up to 12 years of free, safe, and quality education around the world. And there's about 130 million girls still out of school today, and her plan is to have that down to zero. This little girl, she's now in her 20s, and she thinks she can change the world, because she can. But the thing is, in there, she's got a team, she's got a community around her family, her friends, other people supporting her, being with her, because she realizes also, not only is she awesome, not only is she amazing, and not only can she change the world, but she can do it, and only can do it. I'd actually propose the idea that she can only do it in community with others around her. Jesus was the only one that was really a solo act. and yet he didn't do it alone. Think about that for a minute. You're awesome and the people around you are awesome. So I got a little sidetracked with that one. There's something heavy on my heart tonight about the fact that we need to be in community. And I don't actually apologize for that because I think it's extremely important. And I know in today's generation, everyone feels very disconnected, even though they're very connected, right? Between technology, between social media and all of these things. And now I'm not saying take all the technology, social media, throw it all out. And I'm not this big anti-tech rant here. What I'm saying is that there are people that are so connected, but yet they feel so disconnected because they need community, real live community. So here's my challenge. I actually got one challenge that I'm going to finish with a quote by Marianne Williamson. My challenge to you is twofold. I'm going to get the second part of the challenge, but the first challenge comes here, is I want you to reach out to someone this week, someone that you know that is feeling disconnected. I want you to shoot them a message, a text, a phone call, these things. They actually do phone calls. I know it's crazy to think that. That's what they originally were designed for. But reach out to someone this week and tell them they're awesome. Tell them they're amazing. Maybe make time to go for coffee with them or Skype them or whatever, maybe wherever they are in the world. Reach out to someone and tell them they're awesome. You have no idea the impact that could make in someone's life to just reach out and try and connect with them. And so I'm going to end with this quote and then a challenge. Marianne Williamson said this, "Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, or fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So stop thinking you're not awesome. Realize you are awesome and step out, take risks. Be great, be awesome because you are awesome. See, this is how God made you. Now act like it. God made you righteous. Now act like it. God made you powerful. Now act like it. God made you kind. Now act like it. This is how God made you. God made you a blessing. Now act like it. God made you helpful. Now act like it. God made you a servant. Now act like it. God made you a leader. Now act like it. God made you to listen. Now act like it. God made you to speak up. Now act like it. God made you for relationship. Now act like it. God made you for unity. Now act like it. And God made you awesome. So now act like it. Right? Come on. Are you guys sleeping? So take that step. Take that risk. Step out. Maybe there's an idea that's been burning in your heart for the past 7 years, 2 years, 2 months. Doesn't matter what it is. Step out. Take risk. I can tell you, those two guys I talked to about earlier, they didn't just sit at home pondering about everything that could go wrong with the idea of their business that they started. No. They decided, you know what? Let's give it a shot. Let's give it a try. And they did step one. So maybe you've got an idea, a dream, or maybe you're struggling internally, not knowing your identity. Maybe you just can't identify with the fact that you've been made awesome, that God has made you more than enough. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in that holding pattern. Maybe you keep hitting that brick wall. If that's you here tonight, the truth is, God has a way out. That God is there with you in the midst of that. And could I get everyone to stand tonight? And I just want to pray for you. So tonight I'm going to pray. And as soon as I close in prayer, I want to challenge you to come up to the altar just for a moment if needed. If you want to come up for longer, come up for longer. Because then the team here, they're going to lead us in worship in a few more songs. So if you want to come up for a moment and then go back to your seat and worship some more with them, please do that. Or if maybe you want to come up and spend the rest of the worship time at the altar, please do that. But I want you to come up here for one moment and say, God, my very act of coming up to this altar, to this place, is my very act of saying, I am going to step out. I am going to take that risk. I'm realizing that you created me awesome. And maybe I only am believing it right here because that guy up at the front said it, and it's not quite yet here in my heart. So tonight I'm going to come up to the front and I'm going to take risk. I'm going to step out and I'm going to make a declaration that I'm going to believe it, that it's going to get from my head into my heart. And I'm going to leave here a different person today. I'm going to think differently. I'm going to think better. I'm going to stop thinking small, and I'm going to step out, and I'm going to see you move powerfully and radically through my life and impact my community, impact my family, impact my own life. So if that's you here tonight, I'm just going to pray for you. As soon as I'm done, I just encourage you and challenge you to come up and say, God, today you said I'm awesome. I'm believing it, and I'm not going to leave different. I'm not going to leave the same. I'm going to leave different. So God, I just pray that this idea that you've created us awesome would go from an idea to a reality within our hearts and our minds. That God, we would realize the significance that we've been given by you. That God, you made us awesome. Nothing made in your image can be less than that. So Father, I just pray tonight that we would not leave here different, that we would, would not leave here the same, that we would leave here differently, that we would be thinking differently, that we would be thinking big and not small, because we've got a big, big God. So Father, I pray you change our minds, change our hearts to line up more with what you say and think about us than maybe what we're thinking or saying about ourselves here tonight. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.